up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. After a few miserable weeks, I suppose, we had Men's Mental Health Weekend there, just gone by. Bit of international football. I know one of the guests was there, he was enjoying it. Not to be strangled by the Bohemian, our beloved Manchester United, Pete's in it. And I'm joined by the ever delightful and optimistic European Cup winning fan, Stephen Silk. Suppose I'll tell you, just get on over your mental health weekend.
Glorious, glorious. Load the kids football. No hungover on Saturday morning. No doghouse Saturday morning. And a lovely leisurely trip into the Aviva last night to watch L11 banging a great goal and a good win for Ireland. So yeah, an absolutely fantastic weekend. And Kremlin with fear ahead of Friday now already, and it's only Monday evening. So yeah.
Yeah, and Stephen, what about yourself?
Wellness week and work today, Jordan. So we had a few activities going on away from the world of finance. So speaking of wellness, hopefully we can actually win a match or even get a bloody draw at this stage on Friday for the week that's in it.
Yeah, I suppose the last time we recorded was pre the doubleheader against Cork and Drogheda. And I remember just before, we sort of had the idea that, you know, we'll take a point in Cork if we have to and get the win against Drogheda on Monday. Lo and behold, nothing happens. 0 points. We then go in down to Waterford on the Friday. Probably Waterford top of the table at the time, and we gave them a 3-0 win. Now, we'll probably just kickstart on that. And I know people will say misery merchant, whatever like that. But the honest joke, I said at the time when I was watching that Waterford game, the scoreline 100% flattered us. And now you deserve to get your 3 points. If you go score three goals, you've done something right. But just looking at that game, even the whole games so far, we just don't create any chances. Like, we got two penalties out of nothing. I know people said you have to be in the area to get it. Like, they were two of the daftest penalties anyone's ever given away in the league. And then on top of that, you had just a goal from like a half chance from Colin Whelan. So I was very, very pessimistic, I'd say, even after the 3-0 win. You know, I know what I saw, and I didn't see anything that really stuck out to me. There was no counter-attack in the second half. No, we dug in deep and whatever, we held them out. Grand, that's all well and good. Like, surely show a bit of something on the break when you're 3-0 up 45 minutes to play. I think you were down there, Pete. What did you make of it?
Yeah, like, listen, it's obviously the outlier in terms of results. The performance was nothing special. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody left the ground that night thinking that, listen, the corner has been turned and we're flying. A bit of giddy optimism maybe, but I wasn't convinced even as the week went by, and it's turned out to be the case. Had we have backed it up with a performance in Inchicore, you could have said maybe we're starting to turn, but like, the performance against Pats was as flat and as sterile as I've seen in a long, long, long time. So to go from Waterford to that is extremely worrying. And I still haven't seen anything like the application that we had on the first game in the Aviva Stadium. If anything, we've got progressively worse with a couple of decent moments and nothing more along the way. So yeah, it's alarm bells now at this stage on the back of the Inchicore performance, really, for me. I just haven't seen it to make you think that we may be building towards something, or that we're even slowly starting to build some sort of a team. We're a team that plays in moments. We don't create enough chances. We don't score enough goals, and we're always likely to give you a goal. So it's just it's as worrying as it could be at this stage of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know what you made with Stephen. I know the St. Pat's game was beside yourself. I think the second goal went in, the two of us just walked out.
No, we did actually. Yeah, that was a mixture of, I suppose they were going to keep us back in. And like, for a long time, I've just been so dejected by everything, you know. As Pete says about Waterford, it was a funny one. Like, I don't remember ever getting two penalties in the first half. And like that, it was a 3-0 win. And you think, okay, you know, we've got Colin Whelan firing now. You know, the tape has clicked into gear, but it was nothing like that. It was kind of, I always felt if Waterford actually felt they can get back into this, they probably would have. You know, It was a very strange first half, and I don't think we really backed anything up in the second half. And like that, you're going out to Pats. Funny enough, in the first 10 minutes out in Inchicore, I thought we were okay. I thought we were going forward more than they were, had a bit about us. It's just, I think with this, like both this year and last year, I know they're different teams, but it's like the confidence just goes as soon as the first goal goes in. The whole thing just, you know, you're just looking, going, we're going to lose this game. Like, when you think about last year, like, you know, with losing the two home games to no, I'm going back a fair bit, but losing the two home games to Galway and Sligo, like they got a man sent off in the first half. Then that draw had a game where basically if we'd won, we were safe and we went and lost it. You know, there's been so many stupid results and, as Pete says, abject performances. And it, like, I think it's been like this for a very, very long time. You know, and I stood up at the AGM there, lads, and I said, I don't think Reynolds is the man. I don't know what the director of football is doing. And I said, I don't see how you can possibly keep these guys going into next year. And the board said they would. And if anything, I think we've gone worse. Like, we're six games in, we're in the relegation zone. I can't see any improvement at all, you know, coming soon or for the rest of the season. And the problem is, everybody has improved. I mean, there's no UCDs or there's anything. Like, funnily enough, people have said, oh, Cork and Drogheda are the teams that we're going to stay ahead of this year. Sure, they're the two teams that beat us, no bother, a couple of games ago, you know. So for a man who's always optimistic, Jordan, I probably haven't started off too well.
No. Yeah, no, I think that energy and that apathy is starting to be mirrored now in the terrace. Like, you know, you see Leitrim Park. Now, I know that away end is possibly the worst away end in world football. It's actually disgraceful the way you're herded into that corner there. But there wasn't a peep elbows for the whole game.
No.
There was not a, like, you know, I spoke to people that were in the home end, both supporters, couldn't hear a peep from the and the way end. It's like the life has been sucked out of the supporters. Now, they'll still turn up and they'll still be there. And Derry was the same, just looking at abject performances, not being excited, not getting off your feet, not giving you anything to shout about, you know. And that's the worst type of football to watch, you know. Like, if you're going to lose games, at least lose them and have some sort of goal. But we've no shape, we've no structure, we've no patterns of play. We're just really, really, really drab. And as I said, that's the worst thing you can say about a football team, I suppose. A drab team that always concedes goals. So,
yeah,
I just can't see that ship being turned around. Unfortunately, we said at the start of the season, we said, you know, the first couple of games or the first series of games are going to make or break them. At the moment, it looks like it's smashing to pieces.
Yeah,
but it's like you're right about that there, Pete. With the it's nearly like acceptance that we're going to lose. Like, I've been sitting in Block B now since COVID came back. Me and my dad. And, you know, with about 15 minutes to go, you know, Block A is nearly completely empty. And I see a lot of the boys that are going past. I firmly believe if they had to stay there until the final whistle, you know, there'd be no way we could have kept the manager, because the hostility amongst the few that's there, you know. But you see lads going in at halftime and not coming back. There's nothing to get excited about. And I think the anger has passed, and now it's just like acceptance. But that's very dangerous, because we just kind of plod along until it's too late, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm just tired of it now. Like, I left the Saints on Friday night, and Pats fans sniggering at me like as I went down. That was the pits. Like, you know, that really, really rubbed me up the wrong way. Like, you know, I want a team, and we don't ask for much, but I want a team you can be somewhat proud of. You want a team that you can go out and watch and feel that you're at one with them. Like, we've supporters that have been in three away games, three Friday nights in the trot, taking half days, giving up family time, putting an effort in to get behind this team, to support this team. And I said, all you want is that to be matched on the pitch. We have the quality there. We have the players there. We've given the manager everything he wants. Now it's time for them to produce and to show us that they actually care about playing for the club, and for that manager to show us that he's going to get results come hell or high water. He has to demand results. He has to get results. He has to do whatever it takes to get these results, and he's not doing it. And it's not good enough for a club of our stature, for a club of our size, and we're not getting back from that team and that management setup what we're putting into it, both, you know, at board level, you know, with the resource they've given them, and as supporters as well. So as a one, we're not getting what we should be getting, and it has to change with a win on Friday, or else, like, if he doesn't win on Friday, that place will be toxic on Friday night, you know. And you know, it's frightening how toxic that could be on Friday if we're
Yeah.
turned over.
Yeah.
And we put in a performance as poor and as drab and as slow and as lifeless as we have done in some of the games so far this season.
I think, you know, the problem it's been is you're both touching there. It's just been so fucking shit for so long. Like, it's they get bad, what, 13 games under the Vine at the start of the season. It's been crap since 2021. We might have made the cup final that year, but the second half of the season it is a very typical Keith Long season. It just seems to fall out of its arse towards the end. We didn't get over the line for Europe, and since then it's just been fucking shit, shit, shit. Everything's been so bad. The place has been toxic. There's no atmosphere. It's just fucking the club's in a low place. And as you said, like, we came to the season with optimism. We'd signed well. They're looking around the team, and you know, he done the interview after with Drogheda, and that probably angered me more than anything when he said, you know, Drogheda defended for our lives. I'd say Kevin Doherty couldn't not believe how he left Ailing. And the only chance we created in the second half was a bicycle kick from Ross Tierney from a fumbled cross. So I don't know. He's trying to tell us we're seeing things he's not that he's seeing. I know Adam
I can't
Reynolds
believe
knows
the
more
luck
about
coming to Daily
football.
Mount, how easy it is. I spoke to people involved with Drogheda. They could not believe. I spoke to a couple of ex-players and I spoke to people that are on the ground at Drogheda. They could not believe how poor we were. And like you're watching this with your own two eyes, and then you're listening to, you know, different podcasts or you're reading different articles, you know, the Vinnie Perth of this world saying how good we've signed, how well we're set up. No one can believe how bad Bows are. Like they're all waiting for it to turn. They're all expecting a tough game. Cork was the same. They couldn't believe how bad we were. Couldn't believe how easy they got at us. It's
Yeah,
just
no,
frightening.
you're right about the signings. Like, I was very excited about the signings this year. Like, last year when I saw all these Estonians coming in, I was like, this is absolute nonsense. Like, you get better in the Leinster Senior League and all this, all their internationals. You can get San Marino internationals in. But this year I thought we did sign quality. And if anything, we're worse. Do you know the results were better last year, like.
Yeah, and like,
And
but you have so much knowledge in that dressing room. Like, you've Stevie O'Donnell, multiple titles,
yeah.
player, manager. You've got Reynolds, who's been around the block. You've got Detzer there. How were they not able, as a three ball, to solve some of the problems or to problem solve some of the issues we're having? So they either don't want to do it, or they're just not tuned into what we're doing here or what we're trying to get to, because there's enough there to outmatch any sort of dressing room around. It's just. I just can't. It's flabbergasting, like, you know, that we can't get the solutions we're looking for and win a few football matches. I forgot what it's like to win a football match every poxy Saturday. Like you're having the same feeling, same emotions after watching this crowd. Sick of it, like.
Do you know what, Pete? Like, I don't know. I'm in a WhatsApp group there with a few of the lads. I don't think you're in it, Jordan. I don't know if you're in it, Pete. But actually, I worked it out there. And if anything, I was too generous. I thought it was like 29% was Alan Reynolds' win ratio in league matches, and I mistakenly cap counted the Rovers Cup win as one of them. If anything, it was worse. I think the boys worked out there was 21 or 22%. Like, that's deplorable after about 40 games. I mean, the amount of times, like, and look, in fairness, it's probably three or four. But I've come out of Daily Mount. We haven't even had a shot on target. You know, this is horrendous stuff for the money
No
we're putting
signs
into
of it,
that
you
coaching
know.
setup. You know, like, I mean, we've effectively got two managers with Reynolds and O'Donnell. Like, Detzer, you know, like an absolute legend around the place. You've got him. We've got opposition analysis. Like, we were getting emails nearly every month last year about, oh, we've got this other great signing. We must be spending an absolute fortune on this coaching setup. Do you know what I mean? And it's so much worse than when we had Longer and Trevor Crowley in. And I know they didn't win anything, but I mean, we were getting into Europe. We had that 3 wins in Europe on the trot. We're getting the cup finals. The money that we're spending and the return we're getting is an absolute disgrace. And that's what I said at the AGM. Disgraceful. And that's what it is. And I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just completely and utterly fed up with it. I mean, like, you had the Aaron Callaghan year. You said, well, if we go down, we go down. They were brilliant, you know. And even when we budgeted to come second last or third last, and they said the three are going down. If we've gone down, then you can accept that. But this is crazy stuff. Do you know, the problem is, I don't think there's anyone that we could genuinely say, playing the way we are, we'll finish ahead of them at the end of the season.
Well,
Like, you're looking at
Galway's probably
Drogheda,
the
they're
worst.
top of the league.
Yeah, Galway's probably the last team you want to play on Friday, because we don't look like we're going to outfight anybody. You know, we might get
No.
by on a bit of magic from Dawson. Ross Tierney is you know is good for a goal on his day. Dale Rooney can always score, but if we're looking at a team that we're going to have to outfight out scrap, win second balls, win headers, win flick ons, win knockdowns. Galway's not the team to do that. Like, I'd
No.
rather be playing Rovers. I'd rather be playing a team that plays football on Friday. This will give me the fear of this
Yeah,
match on Friday, you know?
definitely. But I just like, we went down to Waterford, we got that win, and
Yeah.
we more or less played two up front with Clark and Whelan. Then he goes in, he drops Clark that little bit deeper. And then, Pat Dunne last time out top, it was in game management. Like, we're chasing Pat's. We've got all of a sudden Flora starting left back, he's our first choice left back all of a sudden again, even though we started the season as tour choice. And you're chasing a game with fucking, 20, 30 minutes to go. And he brings on John Mountney, who evidently has no left foot, on a left back when
Yeah,
the young fella came back.
slowing
He's
the whole
played
thing down.
20 fucking championship games. Like, whatever, but not being competent defensively at the moment and at this age in his career, that boy can put a ball into the box. And when you're 1-0 down with 20 minutes to go and you're on a fucking tight pitch and you want someone to get a little bit of room and make a little bit of
Yeah.
quality, he's probably the one player who I've seen this season who can actually get the ball into the box, because I've seen nothing from Parsons from his 30 crosses a game that's done that. And then Rooney hasn't been at the races either this season.
This fella as well, Keane Best. Like, he has to play two or three games and find out about the league. There's no point in dropping him into one game, leaving him out for five games, dropping him in again. If he's the left full you want to play, he's our only option there at the minute. You have to let him play, and you have to let him make mistakes, and you have to let him find his way around the league. Only way he'll do that is by giving him games. He has to play on Friday night. Has to play. Mountney, get away with him, Aviva, maybe on the bigger pitch, but we need someone that can play out from the back, and as you said, deliver across. And try and get us up the pitch a little bit quicker instead of the ball being whipped out to Mountney at left full and been slowed down and everything else. So we need to have a shape and we need to start winning games.
Yeah, and I'm probably to touch on, I know Stephen, you came there with a stat. I was looking at myself after we lost the draw on the Monday, and I just thought to myself, how many games have we actually won at home the last year? So we've beaten one football team in Dalymount in 11 months, and I think it's 2 weeks. That's Rovers.
Like
And
that is outrageous, you know.
once in the league and once in the cup, the only two wins we've had since, I think it's April 21st or something like that, it is, since the only team we've beaten in Dalymount Park in basically almost a year. I know we've got five out of the next 7 games are home. We've been probably starved of a few home games, but there'll still be 11 months in a week or two, and not have one beaten one team in your home stadium is looking sad.
And Galway sold
But
out on Friday already. Absolute gluttons for punishment, like, you know. Yeah,
like,
deserved.
even when the club nearly went bust, and you thought of the players that we had playing there, like, we never had these shocking runs, as you say, like one win in 11 months. I mean, the players we have are good. Like, we've ex-Ireland under 21 internationals. Do you know what I mean? We have very good players at the moment, and we've given them a great setup with DCU. Like, you're kind of like, as supporters, like, not just the money, but we're giving all our time to this. Trying to do, like, Reynolds, what do you need? Okay, the board have given them that. The board have gone to the members, and we've supported that. And it just looks like there's no. I wouldn't say they don't care, but they're just missing that fight or that energy. And is that down to the manager? Because they clearly care. I mean, likes of Ross
Manager,
Tierney
yeah,
and Ross Du Toit
he
have
has to
come
set the
back. Like,
standards. Yeah, he has
that's
to
what I
set
mean.
the
Like, they've
standards.
come
He has
back
to set the
thinking that.
environment.
To have a team that give the impression that they don't care, that's embarrassing for the manager. But if there's no energy, or there doesn't seem to be any fight, I think they're just so low on confidence. And Dalymount has been an absolutely horrible place. Like, I've booed that team more in the last 2 years than I've ever booed in the past 30 years. They must hate playing at Dalymount. I know I'd hate it if I was out on that pitch, because the place is toxic. It's horrendous. And that sure, like, that's just the people that stay that aren't in the pub at half time and don't come back out, you know. And you just think, like, 2019, the place was, I've never seen us as together as fans and
Yeah.
players. And some of those players are the same ones that were there in 2019. That's what I can't get. Cornwall and Bucko have even come back. Like, these are two fan favourites, but I just can't put my finger on what's not working. And then I wonder, well, is it down to, the manager? And if we got a different manager in, would that change it? Because it's just doesn't make any sense. Like, Pete and Jordan, like, you boys have been following football for nearly as long as I have. I've never seen anything like it.
And it can change very quickly like this, you know. Like, if you win Friday, you follow up. Like, we're not asking for the sun, moon, and the stars. We're just looking for a team that can, you know, give us a fair crack at a whip on a Friday night and give it everything. Because that's what every other team is doing. Every other team is giving it everything. Galway will leave Daly Mount empty on Friday. They will give it everything, and you know, you just don't see that from our guys. Shells give it everything. They leave everything on the pitch. Pats the same under Kenny. Rovers have done what they've done. We have to compete with that. If you don't compete with that, you're pissing into the wind. It doesn't matter how many under 21 internationals you have or what quality of player you have. If you don't empty yourself and you don't match the other teams around you, you're fucking wasting your time in this league, especially how competitive it is now. And, you know, Cork wanted it more than us. Derry, you could probably say, wanted it more than us. And certainly Pats wanted it more than us in the last time out. So if Galway wanted it more than us on Friday, we'll get turned over. There's nothing sure.
Like, you've looked at, I've since Reynolds come in, probably even under the vine a little bit. Last 12 months, like, every result that has happened to us has been deserved. Like, we've gotten nothing for nothing. Every result that you see the last year was the deserved outcome. There wasn't games where, oh, we had a bit of possession and we knocked around and looked great for fucking 20 minutes before we shipped in a soft goal. Because if that happens every week, well, then there's a clear fucking pattern and trend. But I just look at the results and I say, that game, yeah, we deserved to lose. Did we deserve to lose to pass last week? Yeah, Waterford. Don't get me wrong, we 3-0, we held out second half. Yeah, probably deserved to win, absolutely. And then, but you look at the two games before that, we lost. Did we deserve to lose to Derry? We went up there, didn't have a fucking shot the whole game. We lost to that. And then, and now we caught Rovers on the Friday. Imagine we played Rovers on the Sunday that time and they had no Europe on the Thursday and they weren't going in with half the team missing.
No, I know. As we said off air, like, you know, this is our first Friday home game in God knows how long, since what, last October, is it?
Yeah.
And
Well, Galway wasn't the
the
last day of the season.
yeah, like, we should be absolutely buzzing to get back to Daly
Yeah.
Mount on a Friday night, a few beers, everything else that goes with it. But fucking almost dreading the thing, like, you know.
There's no
So
excitement even going to the matches, is there? Like, I go in
that
with the two
sums
lads.
it up,
Like,
like, you know. I
you
mean,
know.
again, as I said, that can change very quick. If we win on Friday, who'll be doing? I think we've a couple of home games coming up consecutively. So,
It's
you know,
Sligo after Galway,
if
isn't it?
yeah, so there is a chance for him to string a few wins together, but it has to happen now. Like, if it doesn't happen over these next 4 or 5 games, it's not going to happen. So this is literally last chance saloon. I know some people probably don't see it like that, but I certainly think this is last chance saloon for him. And it starts on Friday,
Is
and he
it
has, not only has to win, he has to win Friday, he has to follow it up with another win the following Friday. We have to get 3 or 4 wins in the next few games.
this week a double header as a Friday Monday?
Oh, don't
No,
say that, please,
it's
God, no.
no, because the
I don't think the next Monday is at least a Monday with Rovers, isn't it? Cork Rovers,
there was a queue after that Pats game. There's a queue from Blanchardstown to Bondi Beach looking for to come on here and, you know, publicly hang Reynolds. But
Well, I'm going on record now, lads. I've been supporting Bow since 1990. I've been supporting Bow since 1990. And I w would say now, and I'd say to his face, Alan Reynolds, in my opinion, is the worst manager I have ever seen at Bow's. And I would have sacked him at the end of last season. And I would have defended my decision. And I think we are completely wasting our time. I think the season's gone as it is already. We're definitely not going to qualify for Europe. And we're, you know, like, it's just a complete waste of time. We're 6 games in. I'm totally dejected. It's gone. We're not going to do anything. And if anything, other teams, the likes of Drogheda and Cork, the teams coming up, they're better than us. They don't fear Bows. Like, you're right, Jordan, about do we deserve to lose every game we have? We do. Like, you might remember those games we went up to Dundalk and we played them off the park, and there was 2 games they got penalties in the last minute. We lost both of them. I came out of there going, we were robbed. We deserved to win those games. I haven't seen Bows play well enough to deserve a win in years, you know.
It does feel that
And
way,
like,
yeah.
I would love if Reynolds came out here and said, you know what, Silker, I'm going to prove you wrong. And at the end of the season, there's the FAI Cup. You went on air and said I was the worst manager or you've ever seen. There's the cup. But I just don't think he's going to do it. You know, I think we are completely wasting our time here this season. Like, to me, it's already gone. You know, I don't know, like, you're there, oh, it could change on Friday. I hope it does. I hope we win things. But that's what's pissing me off so much. Like, you know, I to me it was
Yeah,
so
like,
obvious at the AGM. It's like,
listen,
why are people telling them to sack him? This is so stupid, like, you know.
I've never been one to boo. I've never been one to cough a manager's head. That's just the way. But I've never seen it with this manager. And said it privately for a long time, with conversations that it's not going to change. And he probably should have went after the Croatia trip if the truth be told. I thought that was a sackable offence. But you're willing to live with it in the hope and, very much glass half full. And even, when the signings came in, you won in Waterford, you're just waiting for that change all the time. But you can say it with conviction. If it doesn't turn in the next few home games, it's not going to turn. End of story. And then there is a decision to be made. Do you leave him, see out his contract till the end of the season, or is there someone available that can take it and improve it, or do you save the money by keeping him there till the end of the season? I don't know, but that decision is going to have to be made. And I'd be
And it's not
surprised if
an
it hasn't
easy
been
decision,
considered.
you know. I'd hate to be on the board having to make these decisions because we all know, like, they've sacked the last two and that hasn't worked out. So, you know, we can't keep sacking managers. Not, it's not just a bad look, it's just pointless, you know.
Yeah, you're just paying your way out. But look, I think if he loses on Friday, he's not getting sacked. I don't think they give him the 2 week break. If I thought they were going to do it anytime soon, I thought it would have been after Pat's. We don't see them doing it after a 2 week break. It would make no sense if they said we wait till he loses to Galway and then we'll sack him. I think he's going to have to lose
Well,
two or
there's a
three.
cost to sacking managers as well. That's the important thing about it. There is a cost, and you have to weigh whether that cost justifies. But like from a football point of view, it's never, never really. That's as much as I can say, and that's as much as I probably airtime I want to give to, because even looking at him is annoying me at the moment. When it's just the pictures in the paper today after the Pats game even wound me up. So that's where my
I
head
don't
is at
even
with him.
listen to the interviews anymore, Pete. I just can't, like, that's as far as I am. I don't even listen to it. Like,
No,
you know,
I'm a
I don't believe
baby,
a word he's saying. Like,
big baby I am. Like, if balls don't win, I don't engage with fucking newspapers or
yeah.
Twitter, or I go off and I go underground. But we'll have to wait and
Yeah.
see Friday. But
We'll wait and see Friday. And as you said, we've got
on a
the.
brighter note, are we going to get pissed on Friday?
I think that could be result dependent. I think it's
Pissed on,
pissed on.
pissed off, pissed on and pissed off,
Oh, but like the funny thing is, on a positive note, you can actually look at the starting 11 and whatever starting 11 he puts out, even though Galway are a good team, I'd be like, yeah, like on paper, that should be fine. Do you know, but has he changed the team every season? Like, or it's not every season. Or, like, have we played the same team? I know it's only six games, but we seem to have been doing a lot of chopping and
Obviously,
changing, don't
young
we? Like,
players in and out. Rooney was in, Rooney was out.
yeah.
Obviously, Whelan is in now. Moosey was in. Back four's changed. So there's still a little bit of bedding in time for some of the players. But again, like the recruitment, when you looked at the recruitment, you thought he was buying players that are ready made for the league, that have been around the league.
I was very impressed with the signings. Very impressed. Yeah.
And I just think, you know, looking at the players always and their confidence, I think unfortunately young James Talbot has been pinpointed as the scapegoat this season. I think I didn't even see the second goal on replay against Pats, but the first goal he was getting a lot of stick for. The ball came in, he could have punched it better, absolutely, but people saying he catched it, like he got absolutely creamed after he punched the ball. Like he got creamed, but so fortunately for James, I'm not saying there's no way back from, but no, there seems to be that always that element of fans that want to go out and get him, similar to what it was, you know, with Paddy Kirk last year or even Adam McDonald at times. You know, people have their one player who they want to fucking, when things go wrong, no matter what's happened or who's done it, that man's a fault and we need to do better than him. Obviously, you can say Casper probably should have not lost space, but to be honest, I don't think that James has done too much wrong this season.
I just saw Casper, again, that fucking away ending in Chikora. I just saw Talbot come for the ball. I saw him punching it. Couldn't see anything else. And I just heard that little screech from the Camac. And that was it. He just knew it was a goal. And Forrester running off. I spoke to Forrester in the Aviva last night. Couldn't even give him any stick of the way things are turning out. Like,
Line
they've beaten us twice there. They fucking handed us our arse there last week. So
them
it was
up.
very subdued. Very subdued conversation.
I think Talbot's taken a lot of abuse, you know, even from what I've heard, and people that I'd be surprised he's taken a lot of slack, and I don't think he deserves it. Like that first goal, yeah, in hindsight, it wasn't the greatest thing to do, but you know, a lot of goalkeeper errors do end up in goals. I think it's more a bit of it is probably why did Reynolds drop Casper when nobody expected him to or nobody felt he should do it, and I think people are nearly taking that out on James. because, you know, when we signed Talbot, when he was in the Ireland squad, he's a cracking keeper, do you know, and he's a decent guy and he's a Bowes fan, and it's terrible that we're turning on the likes of him.
Like, I don't think any of the Mashgon supporters are going to turn on Talbot. Like, you might get a bit of heat online, but you certainly won't hear anything but people getting behind Talbot on a Friday night, certainly, you know. Like, he was great, and I didn't hear any of that, you know, Casper should have been picked after the Aviva. He was great in the Aviva. He's been okay. Yeah. Like, he hasn't, you know, maybe a couple of mistakes, but nothing to justify, you know, going back on the decision. Like, it's probably an unwritten rule with goalkeepers. You play your best goalkeeper. Form probably goes out the window to a certain extent. And when Talbot was fit and he had a good preseason behind him, I think it was probably the right decision to keep him in goals.
Yeah, but I think that's the whole negativity around the place. The same with poor Paddy Kirk last year. Like, sure, you know, nobody would ever say Paddy Kirk's not trying, but I just think sometimes when they're that low in confidence, it's as if any time the ball comes near them, they're like, oh, I know I'm going to make a mistake, or you're not looking for the ball for fear of it going
taking
wrong.
An extra touch when they shouldn't be, or afraid to look for the ball because they're afraid to lose it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I can't see Talbot being dropped anyway. I don't think he's made it can have any clangers in terms of that.
No, I don't think he has either, yeah.
We go to the defence, and I don't know, I think you had to drop Kavanagh. You know, I'm not a fan of Kavanagh. Don't publicly hanging people, but I just don't.
I thought he was very impressive with the first few games he played.
Yeah, sort of.
Like, in saying that, though, now I don't think any of them are standing out.
I think Gretton's been good since he came in, but I don't know.
I don't think one change or two change is going to change. The whole attitude has to change. The whole hunger, the whole desire piece has to change. So you might drop Rooney, and you might bring Tierney in, or you might leave Tierney out, you might put Moose in. But they're the smaller little things. The whole issue with me is just the whole level of performance. And whether that's with Talbot and goal, with Casper, whether Cavan is in, whether Cavan is out, this is on the manager. He has to get the whole show back on the road here.
Give him
his opportunity. But it, if only our problems are as small as making a couple of tweaks with a formation or a system, the problems run deeper than that. And the problems run with the attitude and the hunger and the desire and the performance we're putting in. I don't think there's any great disparity between the players on the bench and the players we have starting. That they're all good players, as we've touched on, but they just don't seem to be playing with any sort of confidence, any sort of shape, any sort of belief. And that's where the problem lies with me, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I'd be wrong there, being what you're saying. You know, they're making these changes here and there. I know some players bring something different, but even when we were 1-0 down against right at home, and you know, the ball was coming out to Meeks, and then players just don't want the ball, especially when down on block game or chasing the game. Players showing away. But they're saying that's when fucking players are meant to become men. They're meant to fucking stand up. Who's the player standing up in their front line? I know Booker should be starting every game for me. He drags us up to a different level. Like, but
well, he
him,
will be.
He's
going
to
end up there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But
the first half in Pats, Booker was the only man getting beyond the Pats defenders. He got to the end line for one cross that came to nothing. But he was the one making the breaking runs. When we've so much other attacking talent on the pitch, it's still left to Booker to try and break the lines and try and create things. It's just bizarre that we'll always end up coming back to Booker. I think everyone we spoke to pre-season was saying, geez, poor Booker struggled to get into that team. Now he's the mainstay. He's going to be the one that's going to try and carry things forward, you know. Many midfields that we signed, and Booker still ends up being the go-to person, you know.
Where's the senior player, like Tierney and the Void? You can't consider them kids anymore. They're seasoned professionals. The lads have a couple of hundred appearances under the belts.
They've come back, you know, to take this seriously. I mean, they wouldn't have come back to be in a relegation battle. But when you're saying about attitude there, you know, I know he was a bit like a headless chicken at times and his job was all mad, but Dylan Connolly, I used to love when he'd get the ball and he'd put the head down and he'd go to the byline. You could just see that desire and that excitement. I just don't think any of the players are producing that at the minute. Even though they're all good players, I don't know what it is like. Do you know, the likes of Tierney and the Boy, they went to England as great hopes because they were playing brilliant. That was only 4 or 5 years ago.
They'd give to any other team. I mean, Dawson the Boy give to any other team. Tierney the same on his day. But I don't know, but I think it's the environment we're in at the minute that we're not getting the best out of these players, and that's again, that's on the manager. That comes back down to the manager to create that environment and to set the standards, and improve these players if nothing else,
Yeah, but it's full-time football and you're looking around and there's times you're thinking, what the fuck are they doing in training? Like, what are they doing? What are they doing? What passages of play are they doing, to try open teams up, when things aren't going wrong? Because from what I see, it's very much get the ball out to Parsons or Rooney, let them cut back on the inside on the other foot, particularly Parsons, puts the ball into the box and nothing seems to come of any of it. Like, it seems we're fairly one-dimensional. Once the team
Yeah,
sits back.
moments of magic will win us the odd game here and there, but not over a prolonged period, that's again the problem. No style of play, mishmash team selection, and a lack of desire. Like it's a perfect storm really for being shit.
But is it like that? My bro was only saying there, lads, like we don't really seem to change formation. Like he was going back to the glorious days of when Roddy was winning doubles. Like if it wasn't working out, Roddy would go from 4-4-2 to 3-5-2, or we take off a few fullbacks, put three at the back, do something. We just seem to replace player with player. We don't change formation during the game. Do you know what? It's like we're very predictable, isn't it?
Oh, 100% more predictable, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. That's just is the answer to it. But as I said, all will be revealed very soon. Make or break Friday.
Yeah, I suppose who would you put in the midfield this week, Pete?
I don't know. Haven't given it a smidgen of thought, Jordan. It's not the answer everyone wants to hear. I haven't been arsed thinking about the team. I just want to see again 11 players giving it everything on Friday. Whether that's 11-19s, whether that's 11-20s, or whether that's 11 lads that are in the squad, I just want to see the players putting it in on Friday night. Bucko has to start. That's the only one, and Talbot. Other than that, fucking pick any of them, And
Yeah.
one thing I would like to see is, as we touched on earlier, a left-footed player playing at left full. Whether that's Cian Best, but if he doesn't fancy Cian Best at all, for all his pros and cons, at least Flores is left-footed and he can whip a ball in. We're not creating anything, so a couple of balls into the box might work. But a left-footed player playing left foot.
I thought it was complete and utter fucking madness that Mountney came on that time against Pats. I thought it was absolutely one of the worst managerial in-game things I've seen in Bowser for a number of years, bringing on someone who's clearly, as we've seen in the Aviva, no left foot whatsoever in terms of
Yeah, and like
being
you get
progressive.
away with in the Aviva a little bit because I
Yeah.
suppose the pitch is a little bit bigger and. If
Bit more
someone's
time on the
trying to close
ball.
you down, you have a little bit more time before they get there, but you won't get away with that ninja car when they're on top of you straight away,
Well, the thing about Rovers as well, they all seem to play well, don't they? Do you know, just that bit of extra bite, like.
Yeah, that was a mirror image of the cup win. We got a good goal, we got ahead, and we defended well. You might as well have been watching the same game, the cup game against Rovers and the game of the Aviva. It's the exact same kind of pattern. Rovers could have scored two or three, if we're being honest as well, but.
Of course,
And I'd imagine probably continue up front. The Moose still seems a bit off. I suppose the bit of fear at the Moose as well is that is he looking around instead of a pain in my bollocks with this. I'm not getting game time. I'm not getting nearer, which he probably rightly shouldn't be nearer. But we're losing every week as well, which probably doesn't help. Like,
He doesn't look
what
any
point does he
trimmer than he
pack now?
was when we
No,
first saw him, does he?
that is
So.
the worrying thing. I've seen him when he was training against Pats. I'm like, is this fella not meant to be on a program? He's been fucking training 3-4 months, or well,
Don't
two,
we
three
have
months
the
anyway.
S&C coach and everything else that's meant to be trimming them down, Like again, you're talking about this off the field management team. Like, are they getting the best out of them? Is he earning his corn by getting that's that should be his project number one. Get this fella trim. Get him firing on all cylinders. I'd still like to see a little bit more of him, I'd still like to see a little bit more Moose maybe at home on Friday night,
Like you'd wonder what the plan was is there with the Moose. Like, I mean, for him to sign, he's obviously willing to give this a go. But and I know he hasn't played like senior football in a while, which is probably a longer gap than most. But a player with that talent, it shouldn't take him that long, surely,
You won't get
to
if you're
get
not
the grip.
fit, you won't get away with it in this league, Like you have to be on your you have to be fit, you have to be match fit anyway, But
Because
I'd still
I
like
don't
to see a
even
little
like
bit
he's
more.
not even getting on the ball or that, At Rovers, I was surprised by how little he touched the ball. But I mean, you'd be looking, going, well, why is the plan then?
Yeah.
But even there's been no stage where we've even created an opportunity where even if he's back to goal, where we just drop the ball to his feet, and he, you know, we might be able to turn a defender, albeit a couple of stone over away. Like everything that's come
Everyone's
to
at
him has come at
the
knee high, chest high, head high. Like
bottom,
everything that's come at him. Another
yeah.
one ball like, that came against him against Pat flashed at him. I think he's about 6 or 7 yards out. Looked like he probably could have shot from anywhere. I don't know what the real angle was, but I can't remember him getting the ball into the feet. A foot level bet into him, fucking a hard pass into the feet where he can do something, where he can turn it or he laid off. The one ball he got into his feet against fucking Rovers, he'd been twisted there and torn, and he set Parsons off. So, you know, with that Derry game, I've never seen a ball bounce off someone so much. That's just purely down to the quality of ball he was getting.
New kit looked fat as well against Pat, didn't it? That's
Yeah, for whatever it is, when it's on its
looks,
own, when it's on some 21-year-old indie board that looks great on Instagram.
One pair of Sambas, Adidas Sambas on her or something, we're getting
A pair of
gazelles,
Adidas Sam just all of us
tight jeans,
drooling, tight jeans, all of us drooling over in a bucket hat. It doesn't seem to come off on the football pitch. It looks fucking terrible.
Oh, it
So
looks horrendous. Let's be honest, it looks brutal.
it does not look good at all. So
Built for festivals and not for fucking football.
this is it. Yeah, we won't be fucking winning that anyway. That's for sure.
We're not going to Europe. We might as well go to a festival in the summer.
But this is it. Yeah, all together now. Think I'll have to put
Well, how
a
terrible it's
slipper.
how early we're giving up in Europe. Like, I mean, like if you come fourth, you have a good chance of getting into Europe.
The
And here
funny
we
thing
are saying
is,
it's not going to happen after
you
6 games.
win two
Like,
games in a row in this league at the moment, and you're probably into it or fourth. If you win two or three games in a trot, you're guaranteed into being top three, because I know, albeit we're the only way we can see this going is downwards at the moment under the current guide. But like a couple of wins, and you're back up there. I think we're only 2 points behind Shells, and we're talking about fucking being relegated. But you just know, you have confidence that Duff will get out of them.
Of course you mean, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, well, I said, where do we go from here? Galway on Friday, it's going to be a fucking a tough task. As I said, I know you'd probably both pull the trigger now, but realistically, do you pull the trigger in a loss on Friday?
Oh, I don't need my brain to be able for another manager chase and trying to get word from here, there, and everywhere. But I listen, like, gun to the head, I'd give him the next couple of games, but it's not looking good. But yeah, again, without repeating myself, it can change quickly, you know. So all we want is a glimmer of hope. If we get a good win Friday and we can see some sort of patterns and some sort of desire, we'll all be happier on Saturday morning. So let's just hope we get that and we wake up on Saturday, okay, not bulling and not kicking the door. I'm kicking the cat and everything else that we can kick on Saturday morning, because it's just been too long since we've had a run of wins and some sort of form.
Steve, what about yourself? What's your thought of trail?
Well, I'd have sacked him long ago, but I mean that's not going to do anything to Tuesday before a game. So I mean, obviously you'll give him the Galway game, but I agree to a point with what Pete's saying there. Like, we'd like a bit of energy, we'd like a bit of to see that they care, and if we don't win, we won't be as pissed off. But I just think we're spending more. Like, we deserve more for our book, if you get me. I mean, you can say, right, well, we won't spend that much money, or we stay part time, won't go full time, and then we'll see, if they care, they put on a show, and maybe if you come sixth or seventh to get a cup run. My concern is we're spending an absolute fortune on absolute shite. And it's all well and good we bring out a jersey and it's sold all around the world. But if that's only gonna
And
pay for the
squandered.
coaching setup, pay for the coaching setup that has us ninth in the league, to me that's extremely serious. And I think we're at that stage now. So I'd be like, we've enough good players on that pitch. We've two blooming managers in charge. It's about time we started winning fucking matches. That's where I'd be at this stage. And if Alan Reynolds and his coaching setup isn't capable of doing that, well then we get somebody else in. Do you know what I mean? Because
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
ninth is an absolute joke. Now, I've been feeling like this since last year, so it's not kind of just all it's the first few games. Like, I hope this guy proves me wrong. I really do. Like, I want Bowes to win more than anyone, but I just can't see it happening. But then again, I have like if the board said to me, Roy Silker, you pick the manager, who do you want? I have absolutely no idea. But I still think Reynolds is definitely not the person that should be running the show here.
Yeah, I
Do you know
think
what I mean? So it's a huge decision, and I wouldn't want to be on the board picking this decision, especially if some of them have already got rid of Keith and Becky.
You made a good point there, Stephen, where, like, I know Reynolds knows there's a faction of fans that fucking hate him and would love to tie him to a lamppost and egg him to death. But
Yeah.
simultaneously,
Waste of fucking eggs.
every single person who fucking is booing him, and, I'm not one to boo managers, not one to boo players, not one to cheerlead people out of jobs. Everyone knows it's fucking the small pond for fucking for staff and for management.
Yeah.
But everyone would fucking love nothing more than Reynolds to fucking turn this around, win two or three games to trot, look around and turn around and become fourth in the season. And Reynolds walks in front of Block A or Block G, gives it two
Yeah.
fingers and goes, "There's Europe, you cunts."
Exactly. I would rather that.
We'd all bleeding. We'd all give him a hand shandy in the fucking dressing
I
room
would
after.
rather. I'd go on Daily Mail at the end of the season if he came fourth. And he said, "You went on that podcast and you said I was the worst Bowes manager in history. What do you say now?" I said, "Well, you proved me wrong." I would love him to do that. But I don't think he is going to.
Yeah, I don't
Even
know.
if
I'm
he
looking forward to this
cares.
because I think we're all right there in that regard anyway, I'd say serial killer and fucking romantic novels, I'd say he listens to on his little iPad out in the Bonington.
Oh, listen.
Yeah, so look, I don't see being torn around myself. It's been, as you both said, it's just dejected. It's been fucking miserable for so long.
Yeah, listen, we go again. Like again, it's first game of the season. We have the same kind. It's been
It's been
so bad for
torture.
so long. It continues to be so bad, but. Do you know what? We get out there on Friday night and fucking go to match and meet your mates and have a few pints, and that's what keeps us all
And
sane. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
you know what, lads? I haven't been this low since we're going down to Waterford. I haven't been this certain we're going to lose, and we were 3-0 up at half time, and we won the game. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes when you get this low, Bowes have a habit of springing a surprise result,
Yeah.
and you go home with a smile on your
Waterford's
face.
a great. Waterford's a great club. Great
It
club of
was,
fans
wasn't it? Everyone
down
was happy
there.
and dancing around. We haven't
Football
been
and
like that
away
in a long
crowds,
time. Haven't been like that in a long time.
Giddy optimism.
Yeah,
Right, it's
so
great to see. 3-0 lead at half time, unheard of. But
back in the bar for the
at least
second
we know
half.
again.
You're still at that putting 25-1 for the draw. You had a lot of lads still putting that bet on. That's where we're feeling at the moment.
And do you know what?
Is there any other big fixtures around the league? What are the other fixtures? Does anyone know offhand Friday night?
Do you know, I've completely derailed myself from anything League of Ireland in the last 14 days.
You know, I don't even look anymore. I'm so fed up with losing. Who draw had it got, lads?
Hold on, I have the fixtures here ahead of me. Cork are home to
Furiously
Drogheda.
scrolling through live score here.
Sligo are home to
Waterford draw had it,
Shelbourne. Waterford are home to Pats, and Rovers are home to Derry.
yeah. Rovers are home to Derry.
Derry's a strange one, lads, isn't it? They've lost a lot.
They're fucking shy. They
Do you
are
reckon that
shy.
policy of signing Northern Ireland internationals in the 30s hasn't really worked out?
Yeah, the middle-aged Protestant is not working out in the bog side at the moment.
They went all in for that, didn't they?
Yeah. I think our man's no, like, he managed Larne, albeit they won a couple of leagues. They're doing okay in Europe.
Yeah.
He's not good enough for League of Ireland, I don't think. And I
They
don't think the
fucking
signing there.
beat
Well, it's
us,
fucking
didn't they? They
doesn't it doesn't take much.
beat
Doesn't take
us,
much, which
yeah.
fucking tells you where. But do you know what? We've got Galway on Friday, and I'd be hoping and say we might nick a 1-0 win. But even if we're losing 1-0, or we like all you want is the last 10 minutes to feel like they've given everything, and where you can go, do you know what? We huffed and puffed. We might not get the goal because it hasn't been the case. We've lost every game this year. There's been no
But you know
fucking
what, Jordan?
last
Like
10
Block
minute push.
A, there's nobody even in Block A with the last 10 minutes. That's the thing. Maybe if people were there, if they, it's like, oh, there's nothing happening here. We went for a point. Like if the football was good, or if there was a bit of excitement, people would stay.
They've
Not
given
watch
us
the game at the
nothing.
bar. But
They've
there's
given
nothing to
us
stay out
nothing in
for.
80 minutes or 85 minutes to
Yeah,
make us think we've got it for the last five. We'll push
spoiled
it.
bastards. We've had two home wins in a year, and yous are crying for more. Fuck's sake!
That's what I
Nothing.
mean. Like, why would you stay out? Nothing's going to happen. Like.
Look, in fairness, like I've been known to go in when we're fucking winning games and we're flying as well into the bar at halftime, so we can't totally blame the results on them.
Yeah. But you
I
just
haven't seen
want.
the inside of the bar since long I left, lads. Oh,
You just
listen.
want those last 10 minutes where they've given everything and they've knocked on the door, albeit they don't fucking
They'd
get
love
that
it.
goal. But
Even if they did lose and they came off and well, we gave it everything and we should have won, but it's not even that happening. Like,
yeah,
geez, we're a bunch of misery at the moment, lads, aren't we?
It's a good seed on this podcast, isn't it?
I was
Misery
having a good
cast.
day
Seed
before
of
this
meter as
call. I
well
had a
up in
great day
the
today.
late 90s.
Right,
We're coming up
so
with like absolute mugs now. Boss are going to win 3-0 and play fucking like Gazelle
yeah,
97 on Friday
absolutely.
night, and we'd be like mugs.
We'll get a result obvious for Friday before we wrap up because of enough fucking giving out here.
I don't think getting near from off he misses now.
Gonna go.
What do you think, Pete? You're feeling confident?
Well, I got me result right for the last time before the Rovers game. I said 1-0. I'm going to go 1-0 Bows again. I'm going to be half full. Going to make myself out to be a total hypocrite. Give out about the team manager for a full hour and then say we're going to win on Friday. So 1-0 Bows and certain elements be in the bar by half time regardless.
Steve.
I'm going to go one all. I'm going to say a few of the players will probably hear that I was giving out about them. We'd have a great first half, go 1-0 up in a half an hour, and then they'll equalise in the second half, and that'll be it. We won't have another shot since.
No, we
One
get
all
a
draw.
late winner, Silk, and we both get a taxi home down together. I'll drop you
The
off first, and then we'll go to my way.
glory days of €100 taxi from a free pre-season friendly in Bray. They were the
I'm
days.
paying for the taxi. No, you pay for it. I'll pay for
Think part of your bad paid for it. I
Yeah.
gave it back to him. Gave it back to him a few weeks later.
Charge that to Dave Rockwell, please.
Stick it,
That's the
stick it on the
boy.
count.
Jesus. Oh, no, Rockwell, maybe he'll pull the bullet, will he? Show us he's a real man.
I'm gonna go for I'm gonna say 1-0 as well, despite the misery bestowed upon everyone. We think it could be one of those games where, like Waterford, where they're top of the league, we're not expecting that, and it's the most typical Bowes thing would be now to win this and lose the next two or three. I think that could end up being the case. If, like what I take sort of what Stephen said there, we went 1-0 down and 20 minutes to go, we got a goal and we huffed and puffed for the last 15 20 minutes. I didn't take that at this stage.
Yeah, it'd be
Can I
great,
just
wouldn't it?
change it up? Can I just change it up for a second, right? Instead of just going with Friday, because a win on Friday in isolation is not worth the bollocks.
No,
So
it's not.
we've Galway, we've Sligo, and then we've Shells. Am I right in saying that that's the next three?
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
out of those three
Galway.
games, how many points will we get out of the three instead of just predicting Friday? Next three games, how many points will we get?
Right, I'm gonna go and I'll say what we should be getting a seven with that team and what's going on at the moment, I think we'll be blessed to get four.
I'd say we'll get
Yeah.
two.
An optimistic four.
I will say I think we'll get four, but what he needs to turn the ship around is seven.
Yeah, as I said, five of the next
To get
seven games are
people,
all at
you
home.
know, behind him to a certain extent, he needs seven. He needs two home wins, and he needs to take something down on top as well.
That's the thing about football, Pete. It's a very simple game. Win your home games and try to pick up something on the road.
Yeah.
Playing them,
Very
we beat
simple game
Gales and
supported by
Parker last
idiots.
year. We beat them.
Yeah, we did.
And we deserve to
Beat them
win.
and drew with them down there last year, yeah.
So we have it in us, like. That's why it's
Yeah.
so frustrating when you see them winning leagues and we're dicking around in the bottom places.
Yeah. So
Oh,
look,
stop.
that's what we are predict for the next couple of games and result dependent. There could be no podcast next week. I'm not too sure. The only thing I can
Keep the faith, lads. Keep
keep the
believing.
faith. The only thing,
Get us on again if we win, Jordan. We give them a pollicking and
the
they'll prove us
apologetic
wrong against
podcast.
Sligo again.
Yeah. So look, we'll wrap up, man, and as far as we'll finish it off as we every day week. Motherfucking balls.
Come on, balls, let's go.
Balls till we die.
'Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again. I said,